prominent businessman said to me one day, "My wife hasn't been a wife to me for over 8 months. It is about to drive me crazy. What am I going to do?" This man isn't alone. Countless men live in agony in their own homes or are being driven to other women by being deprived by their own wives, if you please, of what should be the highest physical expression of love in the home. After introducing my wife in glowing terms to a group of women and telling her so many wonderful things about her, a lady came to me with misty eyes saying, "I'd give everything I own if only once my husband expressed just a fraction of the thoughtfulness and tenderness for me that you've just shown for your wife. I'm starved to death for a little bit of attention and kindness from my husband." These cases are not uncommon. Multitudes of men and women are living lives of misery and sham, 27 years of hell on earth, as one man put it, because of a lack of knowledge of four supreme secrets for a successful marriage, which I want to share in this message. Many women are breaking the hearts of their husbands and wrecking the homes of their children, all because someone has not presented the sacred side of sex relations, which should be one of the sweetest experiences of life and highest expressions of love in every home. Many men are crushing their wives' hopes and squelching every desire they might ever have to respond to their husbands because they just don't understand women. Dr. Sadler, a famed psychiatrist, once said, "The reason so many marriages end in divorce is that right after the wedding bells stop ringing, people wake up and find themselves married to a total stranger. God said for husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge, 1 Peter 3:9. How can they when in reality they are married to total strangers? The tragic overemphasis of romance and kissing by Hollywood and TV, so that dating couples never talk and really get to know each other, is a catastrophe. Too many get married on a sudden urge to merge. A girl who married at 15 and had three children before she was 21 said to me, "I got cheated out of my youth." Wise up, guys and gals. Enjoy your youth. Get to know each other. Grow up and be ready for marriage. Remember, marriage is X-rated. It is for mature only. Look at the chart number one on the jacket of this record. I call this the great sex gap of marriage. The generation gap is like the eye of a needle compared to the great sex gap. When a boy and girl begin to go together or a couple become married, they start out life with a great gap. They are two very different people, no matter how much they love each other nor how much they think alike at the time. Too many never consider how great the gap really is. Notice the different areas in which there is a gap. There may be an ethnic gap, which causes much misunderstanding. Many have a large social gap. The one likes to go all the time, while the other likes to stay at home. Some have a financial gap, in which one is brought up with everything he wants, while the other has had to be extremely thrifty with very little means. The educational gap can be a problem when one is college trained, while the other never finished high school. If one person is quite shy, an introvert, while the other is very outgoing, an extrovert, there can be quite an emotional gap. The cultural gap is often enormous. Just being reared in a different part of a state or the country has a great effect upon one's attitude. One can be from a section where neighbors are very friendly, hospitable, and close to each other, while the other is from an area where people are distant, keep to themselves, and are unfriendly. One family may be large and close. The other has but one child, and everyone goes his separate way. Psychologically, one can be happy-go-lucky. He has a great feeling of security and sees the good and positive side of everything. The other is possessed with insecurity, unsure of herself, with deep negative and suspicious feelings. The difference in the religious gap is one of the greatest of all, especially if each is quite committed to a different religion or denomination. No wonder God warns, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Love and marriage must go deeper than an affection or physical attraction to one another. The aim in marriage is to narrow the gap until the two become more nearly one flesh in all areas of life. This has to be worked at. Have you ever noticed how people begin to look alike after they've been married for years? Someone has said couples look more and more alike as their love for each other grows and they narrow this gap in their lives. That is why I married the most beautiful woman in the world. I am hoping we begin to look like her. If she begins to look like me, we are both sunk. There is one other gap of enormous importance. That is the sex gap. It can best be illustrated by the second chart called the love cycle. When a couple fall in love, they have an affection for one another and hope it will lead to love. The first law of love is, true love is an unselfish attitude which desires the utmost good and happiness of the other person, even at his own sacrifice. The first supreme secret for a successful marriage is that you like someone who makes you happy. You love someone whom you make happy. Notice on the jacket the three Greek words for love, which together make up true love. Eros is the romantical side of love. It relates to the physical senses. It is not limited to sex, but it includes sex. The Playboy philosophy is the extreme of it. The hippies cry of make love, not war, equates love with sex. There's nothing wrong with sex. It ought to be the highest physical expression of love in the home. But it is the lowest level of love. Eros alone can never hold a marriage together. Hollywood and television have so overemphasized this form of love that about 90% of love is based solely on the physical side. No wonder so many marriages end in divorce. Eros is selfish. It is a one-way street interested in its pleasure. A person can have eros, physical attraction, to scores of people, but after marriage it is to be kept for just one person, your companion. Men have a much greater need for this side of love. Philos, as in philosophy, love of wisdom, is the companion side of love. It has to do with a social, friendship type of love. Couples ought to be the greatest friends. This is a two-way street interested in our happiness. It is about all most counselors present, saying marriage is a 50-50 proposition. Give a little, take a little. Women are far more interested and in need of this side of love. It too can never make a marriage a total success. Agape is the divine kind of love. It is unselfish. It keeps on loving even when the loved one is unresponsive. Agape is warm, deep, and lasting, as described in 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, everyone wants this kind of love. It is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. All other love is responsive love and is produced by outward stimuli such as physical attractiveness or the beauty of personality or the kindness of a friend. Agape is like an inward well produced when in tune with God and flows like a river wanting to make others happy. True love is a balance of all three. It takes all three to make a successful marriage. When a couple are attracted to each other, usually by eros, they begin to court, the next step in the love cycle. Webster defines courting, which is the second law of love, as to endeavor to gain the favor of or win the affections of another person by attention or admiration. How astounding is this definition, for here is the second supreme secret, so essential for a successful marriage. A woman wants attention from a man, and a man wants admiration from a woman. These two words, attention and admiration, contain greater power than all the atomic energy in the universe. Most women are starved to death for just a little thoughtfulness and tender loving care. Someone has said, if a man thinks for 1 minute he can understand a woman, he has timed it just about right. No, they are dead wrong. I understand women. There's a very valid reason why they cry so easily, change the furniture around, fix up so much, want new clothes, change their hairstyle or color, and a thousand other little characteristic things they do. They want attention. They will do anything and everything under the sun to get it. The wise fellow or husband who realizes this and pays proper attention to his wife or girl, satisfying this valid and natural craving, will have her bowing at his shrine. A very fundamental difference between men and women is men are aware of the overall picture or plan, while women notice each little detail. Because of this, women need attention in the small details of life. Men think, I've given her everything she could want, a car, a home, washer, dryer. What more could she ask for? I'll tell you what, for you to show love in these everyday little things, that goodbye kiss, the little surprise gift, that thoughtful phone call in the middle of the day, remembering birthdays, anniversaries, and a thousand other things, that say to a woman loud and clear, I love you. I've been thinking about you. No one wants to be taken for granted, and a woman just cannot be. A preacher's wife had not been told, I love you, in 4 years by her husband. No wonder it was hard for her to respond to his needs at night in bed. How long since you told your wife you loved her and complimented her on her dress or her hair or some other quality of life? If she asked, how do you like my new dress? You're not slipping, you slept. I heard the supreme compliment when a man said, my wife is the kind of a cook her mother always tried to be. A woman once said, how can men be such unimaginative morons? The only time my husband tells me I'm nice is when he wants sex. Whenever he gets sweet, I know what's coming. He never flatters me unless we're in bed. My husband has a string of what I call bedtime lyrics. Just once, I wish he would tell me I'm nice without an ulterior motive. Have you ever wondered why women wear some of the ridiculous clothes and styles? I'll tell you. They want attention. Now, the tragedy is some girls and women attract the attention of men with mini skirts, tight dresses, and revealing necklines. Then after they're married, they wonder why all their husband wants is sex. Their husbands never give them the attention and the thoughtful little expressions of love and tenderness that they're starved for. It is so simple. They never attracted their husbands on this basis. They've gotten what they ask for. Someone needs to tell girls this so they appeal to a man through their character and inward qualities. Personality and loveliness as a lady, which will cause him to treat her like a lady. Girls don't feel guilty for craving a husband. It is natural. But there is something worse than never being married, and thousands of women will testify quickly, that is being married to the wrong man or for the wrong purpose. Attention, just simple thoughtfulness, tender kindness, and warm affection that every girl dreams her romance will have is the most powerful persuasion a fella can use to win a girl, or a husband can use to have his wife be the responsive, loving wife he longs for. Women will tell you if they could only get the attention from their husbands they crave, they would do anything in the world to please him. A great tragedy is the kidding a man receives when he shows his love for his girlfriend or wife. It is the unpardonable sin for a man to be called henpecked or kidded when he brings his wife candy or flowers simply because he loves her and knows she craves this attention. A man would die if some woman kidded his wife about trying to get out of the doghouse because she satisfied his desires for sex. Make your wife feel like a queen, and she will treat you royally. Put her on a pedestal. Treat her with tenderness and sweetness, and she will be that and much more to you. Now the other side of the coin is that a man wants admiration from a girl or his wife, not false flattery, but sincere admiration. Have you ever noticed how a fellow, when he begins noticing girls as such a show-off, why does he act tough or like a big shot, a swagger down the street, or act like he's Romeo number one? I'll tell you, he wants admiration from a girl. He thinks this will cause her to look up to him. Here then is the supreme secret desire of a man's heart. He desperately wants admiration from his wife. Why do most men marry girls who are shorter than they and younger than they? Simply because a man wants a woman to look up to him in every way. We joke about the dumb blonde who wraps a fellow around her finger. She looks up to him and tells him how big and strong he is and how little and weak she feels around him. She's not so dumb after all. Most of the time, unknowingly, she is doing the very thing he craves of a woman. Every man longs to have one woman sincerely call him my hero. The Prince Charming image is not a joke. It is not only the desire of a girl to find one. It is the longing of a man to be one in the sight of just one person, his wife. No man on earth can resist the desires of his wife if she feels in her heart and shows in her action this one thought. You are the greatest guy in the world, and I need you. The entire sum of existence is the magic of being needed by just one person. If women ever realized this and genuinely responded to this natural desire of their husbands, they could wrap them around their little finger the rest of their lives. A man will never thrill more or respond quicker than when his wife in some way brags on her husband in front of others. Every man around will think she is the most perfect wife ever made and be jealous of her husband. She will attract more genuine attention than the best-dressed, most beautiful woman in the crowd. Indeed, she will be a unique and a rare jewel. Here, girls, is one of the greatest keys to win a boy you will ever find. Look for a fellow you sincerely admire, and then genuinely show it. Someone has said behind every successful man is a devoted wife and a surprised mother-in-law. How many men have said, I would never have made it if it had not been for my wife, who believed in me. Everyone else can fail him. Everyone else can let him down. But if his wife is behind him, believes in him, and still shows she admires him, he will keep on going and make it no matter what the cost. He who believes in nothing still needs a girl to believe in him. When will girls and women ever realize this? The unpardonable sin for any wife is to belittle her husband in any way in front of others. This is the final blow. This will crush a man more than anything a woman can do. This wound seldom heals. Go to the bars tonight and you will find countless men drinking themselves into a stupor because they can't face a wife at home who has lost confidence and admiration for them. Now, of course, if a man wants the admiration of his wife, he has to be admirable. When a man comes home, plops in front of the television, lets the house fall apart, lets his wife be a slave, never shaves, never dresses nicely, never rides a white horse in shining armor, he can hardly call himself admirable, nor expect much admiration from anyone. Fellows today who are unclean, unkempt, and uncouth will never win the admiration of a sharp gal who would make a good wife for a man and a mother for a child, no matter what the crowd may be living like. Likewise, if the wife has her hair in rollers when her husband leaves for work, and still in rags, all worn out, dirty and sweaty when he comes home, will not attract much attention from her husband. The only attention that brings is to the girls at work and how attractive they are. A woman ought to stop work a half hour before her husband gets home, freshen up, put on a clean dress, a little makeup, some of that come hither and get closer perfume to greet her husband with when he comes home each night. Boy, this will get some attention. To sum it all up, the 11th commandment ought to be, keep courting after you get married. Someone has said it's not so important to marry the right person as it is to be the right partner. Look at the chart. Now, if this courting is not responded to on the part of either, it kills the affection one has for the other and causes one's affections to be turned to another person. If the courting brings the proper response, it leads to the next step in the love cycle, romance. Romance is the outward expression of love through physical contact, such as holding hands, kissing, caressing, and love play in marriage. Here now is the third supreme secret that needs to be understood by both husbands and wives. Men's emotions are aroused, their passions are stirred, their sexual desires are set in motion by sight, while women are aroused to sexual desires through touch. Don't underestimate the importance of this fact. Why do advertisements talk about girl watchers, not men watchers? Why is everything from soup to nuts advertised with women in every kind of a suggestive dress and position possible? Why are women's measurements given, legs talked about, and shapes discussed? Simply because men are aroused just through the sight of a woman's body. This is a fundamental fact, that a man is aroused by the very sight of a woman's body. But a woman must be aroused through the romance of kissing, caressing, and love play. Right here is one of the least understood facts by both men and women, and especially women. Why does God say for a man not to look on a woman to lust after her? Why does God stress for women to be dressed in modest apparel, no matter what the styles may be? Simply because a man's desires for sex are aroused just by sight. Did you hear about the efficiency expert recently who checked thousands of people and found men spend an average of 1 hour a day in the office watching the women and their mini-skirted legs? Modesty is determined not by whether it bothers a girl to wear a short skirt, but whether it bothers men by arousing their emotions to sex. Now, if a girl wants to merchandise herself or attract the lustful looks of men, she will be pleased with this report. Did you hear about someone asking Karen Johnson, Miss Maine of 1970, why she did not approve of Miss America contestants going to Vietnam on tour? She replied, when you send five of the supposedly loveliest women in the United States in teeny-weeny dresses and they run around in front of those poor guys who have been out there for 6 months, it is just plain unkind. I think she was being charitable. It is absolutely cruel. No wonder there are 25,000 fatherless children stranded in Vietnam. It is just as absurd to say men ought not to react so passionately as to tell women they ought not to have their weeping spells, or be so concerned about the little things their husbands fail to do. This is the way each is built. Multitudes of girls and women are keeping men defeated by arousing desires that cause guilt feelings, at least, if not sin, in their hearts. Especially is this a problem of single men or men who are not getting the proper fulfillment of their desires in their homes. Now, of course, men who are satisfied by their own lives or have much less sex drive than others may not see anything wrong with short skirts. Men who are not Christians and enjoy these lustful feelings in their hearts love the revealing dresses and can be seen on the streets or in a room taking it all in with red fire lust burning in their eyes. It is too bad that men do not tell their wives the whole truth about how non-Christian men too often have a constant chatter about women, their shapes, and what they desire to do to women who flaunt themselves past their eyes. God says, as a ring of gold in a pig's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. While women do not rebel at the way clothiers, advertisers, and men are merchandising sex just baffles me. They have degraded women into a plaything with the great exploitation of sex. And then when women or their daughters are attacked and sexually molested, they cry outrage, kill the man. You feel like telling the women, go home and get dressed decently. Now the other side of this coin is that the woman is aroused to desire this highest physical expression of love in the home by touch or feeling. Remember in 1 Corinthians 7, God said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. A woman said, if left up to me, the whole human race would die out as far as my desires for sex relations goes. There's something wrong with her. No, she's normal. In all of life, the male takes the initiative. He is normally the aggressive one in this battle of the sexes. Hollywood has perpetrated a big lie in portraying women as though they are craving sex and panting after a man to satisfy a sexual desire that is bursting inside of them. The pornographic books are exploiting the same fallacy, and too many men are building up a false fantasy about sex. Then when a man marries and finds a wife cold and unresponsive to his immediate approaches to this subject, he wonders what's wrong with her. Often it leads to great frustration in both parties. Women quickly come to the conclusion they are frigid. Men feel they are cheated by not finding this explosive response described in a book or on a screen. Many counselors are no longer using the term frigid. They realize too often what a man is looking for is not the norm, or else the woman has not been properly loved and prepared until she has been aroused to a normal desire for this expression of love with her husband. Now before marriage, the proper idea of romance is holding hands and kissing. Even this can go far enough to arouse in a girl further desires. Here's where couples have to be knowledgeable and realize that long periods of kissing and embracing can arouse an emotion a girl has never experienced. This emotion is often equated with real love. She's never felt like this before and doesn't know how to handle it. Many do not have the power to put on the brakes, and before it is realized, they cross over into the alien side of the chart, the after marriage, and enter into love play or into sex itself. Sometimes also in the midst of such kissing, a boy's hands falls on a part of a girl's body which is reserved for after marriage. In the heat of the moment, both their passions are aroused to a very high pitch. A selfish fellow will seize upon the occasion and say, prove your love and let's go all the way. I wish every girl who has a fellow say this would say, prove your love and don't ask me to give up something so precious that should be reserved for my husband at such a cheap price. In fact, if he tries to force the issue, he proves he is selfish and doesn't truly love her as he ought to, and she would be better off to drop in like a hot potato. The situational ethics says, if it is meaningful, it is all right. This philosophy totally ignores the simple fact that at this point a fellow and girl have emotions aroused they have not encountered before. And this is equated with being meaningful, and thus all right. The sad fact then is ministers are often called in to try to put together the broken and shattered pieces when after the couple has gone all the way, they find it a tragic sorrow it was wrong, and they are often left with bitter regrets and resentment of each other. Next, she is expecting a child, and he never bargained for that, so he flees the coop. This caressing is perfectly normal right after marriage. In fact, it is a must for a wife to be properly prepared for one of the sweetest experiences of her life in the home. A lady said to me recently, I almost didn't learn this until it was too late. Too often men do not know this and in their haste rush into this experience before their wives are prepared so that she is unresponsive and cannot enjoy the experience nor have a complete satisfaction. To her then it becomes something to be endured and not enjoyed. She can become frustrated. She feels something is wrong with her. The term frigid pops before her eyes, and before they know it, the couple is having serious problems. The ultra-Victorian attitudes have also created problems. A wife asked her pastor one time, why does my husband have to put his hands all over my body every time he kisses me? He is always dirty-minded. The pastor asked the lady if she thought he was dirty-minded. Of course, she said no. Then he told her that most of the time when he kissed his wife in private, he put his hands on her body, but he had no more thought of having relations with her than anything. A man loves every bone in his wife's body, and to him it is just part of love. In Proverbs 5:18 and 19, God even says to a man, "Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." God ordained this act of love. He made our bodies as they are. These desires in the home are natural and must be responded to. Now husbands need to understand a woman's modesty and respect it. It isn't easy for a girl after 20 years of restraint to suddenly give her body unreservedly to her husband. Tender thoughtfulness on the husband's part at the beginning of marriage especially can make a world of difference in this transition. A wife should also realize that love play is normal and a must, so that she relaxes and learns to enter into this part of romance. Not to accept it as it should be can create wrong psychological attitudes and cause irreparable damage in the home. It can cause her to never enjoy this expression of love, so that they never have a mutual satisfaction and a deepening of their love as it should be. The unpardonable sin in romance is for a wife to ever criticize or accuse her husband of being oversexed or a sex fiend because of his aggressive sex desires. To repel his approaches because she is not interested can crush a husband beyond measure. On the other hand, a husband should never belittle his wife nor kid her because she doesn't measure up to the perfect measurements. This would be as cruel as a woman repelling her husband's approaches to her. Look at the chart again. If the romance in the home is not properly responded to, it kills the desire for courting, which leads to romance. Unless there is a full satisfaction by both parties, neither one can enjoy the romance properly. If there is a proper response, it leads to the next step in the love cycle, sex. The fourth law of love is that sex relations ought to be the highest physical expressions of love in the home, and are meant to be enjoyed by both, and to come to a full and complete satisfaction. The fourth supreme secret is, men are created by God with a strong desire for sex. Women have a deep desire for security. Men give security for sex. Women give sex for security. God says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, Hebrews 13:4. There is absolutely nothing wrong with sex. It is amazing how many women reared in an atmosphere of hush-hush about sex feel sex is wrong. A couple came to see me one evening. The home life was miserable. We prayed together, and then I asked them to tell me what was the problem. The husband blurted out, "She thinks sex is vulgar." His wife would have made Raquel Welch take a back seat as far as her looks and physical attractiveness went, yet she felt sex was vulgar. She was denying her husband and wrecking their home. When she saw sex as it should be, it transformed their home. Sex is not dirty or vulgar. It is a sweet and wonderful experience and meant to be enjoyed by both in the home. Dr. James Rue, founder of the Sir Thomas More Marriage and Family Clinic, said, "Money is often given as the main source for family problems. The truth is you don't find two people coming into court who have a happy, healthy sex life. Like so many other things, sex is not wrong. It is the misuse of sex outside the bounds God has placed that makes it sordid. A real tragedy is when a woman fears it and feels it is wrong, so that she cannot respond normally or look at sex as a wonderful expression of love. For a woman not to be a wife to her husband for 8 months, as mentioned earlier, is just plain sin. Yes, it is sin for a wife to deny her husband this privilege. In 1 Corinthians 7:3, God says, "Husbands and wives are to render to each other their due." The context makes it clear he is talking about this intimate relation in the home. In fact, in verse 4, God says, "The wife has not authority over her own body, but the husband has." Now that is a very strong statement. The wife doesn't have the authority over her body to deny her husband his privilege, his due. Then in verse 5, God says, "Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to prayer and fasting, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." The only way one can deny the other this expression of love, God says, is with the consent of the other. Then it is only to be for a time, lest Satan tempt one, and he be not able to keep from sinning in his heart or from turning to another for satisfaction. There are times when a man works so many hours, he is just too tired or uninterested to show the love and supply the need for this deep expression of love in his wife. This too is sin. Often when women see this relationship as it really is, we will have an increased emotional and psychological desire for this fulfillment of love. The desire often grows stronger in women when the fear of having children leaves, or as women mature into their 30s or 40s. Counselors and doctors will tell you the fulfillment of this joy is 75% psychological and 25% physical. This is a powerful truth. Sometimes it is hard for a wife who has kept the meditations of her heart pure to let her mind really enter into this sacred act. This is absolutely essential, though, for the realization of its full satisfaction. It has been known of a wife bringing up some mundane matter to her husband in the very midst of this intimate time. It is obvious she will not enter into the enjoyment, but only endure such times. A wife must relax, apply her mind and love to the occasion before she is going to find the fulfillment of joy that should be hers. Women get the security they need from their husband's love through the many little things that say, I love you, I care about you. This releases them to be able to respond to the physical love their husbands need. The sex drive is the most powerful of human desires. So strong and impelling is this desire that a man will risk his whole career and reputation to satisfy this urge. Did you get that? Someone said the woman who understands man's nature and his sex drive so that she tactfully caters to it need have no fear of competition from other women. And by the scores, I have heard husbands indicate this very thing to me. A man would idolize his wife if this were true of her. If a wife really realized the sex drive a man has, and the second supreme secret that a man needs admiration, she can make her home a little heaven on earth. A woman could have 10,000 faults that her husband would never see if she satisfied these two desires. When this great urge is not satisfied in a husband, it causes him to have lust in his heart as he sees other women so exposed today. This then can bring deep guilt feelings. The non-Christian is often driven to drink. When all this takes place, he can only blame his wife for the end of it all and finally hate her. These very steps downward have been confessed to over and over again by husbands. Many Christian men have lost their fellowship with the Lord right here. Their conscience bothers them, not wanting to hurt their wives by telling them the truth of the lust in their hearts. They just clam up. Communication is broken down in the home until life deteriorates into a miserable existence. Some of their wives have not understood this drive and cut their husbands short so that they are embarrassed to try to discuss it or work it out. Often two men have not tenderly and lovingly controlled themselves to allow the wife to enter into full satisfaction so that she feels frustrated or cheated. This makes her feel more reticent the next time the subject is approached. Until both come to a well-adjusted, happy, healthy enjoyment of this expression of love, neither can enjoy it to the fullest, for it is a mutual act of love, and each wants the happiness and enjoyment of the other to be fulfilled. When sex is responded to as it should be, it leads to a deeper and final fulfillment of love. Now look at the whole love cycle. It runs in one direction. It is a circle which must not be broken or bypassed at any stage. Here is a paramount truth. To go directly from love to romance and bypass courting would cause a real breakdown. To skip the romance and approach sex without this vital preparation will lead to either frustration or failure. Each step is essential, and essential in this order. Someone said a happy, healthy sex relation begins with a goodbye kiss in the morning. Don't minimize this. If a man wants his wife responsive to his needs in the area of sex, he must be responsive to her needs of attention and thoughtfulness. That thoughtful phone call in the middle of the day, the sincere compliment on the fine meal, the thank you for mending his shirt, the noticing of her hairdo, are the best insurance that she will respond to his signals of his desires later. Like everything else, this takes full cooperation on the part of both. You have to work at it. To fulfill the golden rule, it's like a game of checkers. It's your move. It is not a matter of who gives in first when one begins to show attention or admiration. It is a matter of who's smartest and quickest to pull the trigger so the cycle will begin to move to really get what one craves. If things have already deteriorated to a bad situation, why not start out by making a game of it? Sit down together and make a list of what you want in the way of courting from each other, then another in the way of romance, and so on. Let each take the other's list and study it. Think of new ways to fulfill the needs of your partner. Make up your mind you're going to make it work and go at it. Take each other's attempt seriously, not suspiciously. Respond to each attempt, no matter how clumsy the attempt may be. Become sensitive to each other's need and responsive to each other's deed. Make it work. Millions have. Don't admit defeat. If they have succeeded, you can too. You might as well enjoy your marriage to the hilt. Don't let this old world or Satan himself cheat you out of this great joy God has arranged for us. Magnify each other's good points. If anyone dwells on the faults of the other, it is bound to kill the love and respect. You want your faults and shortcomings overlooked? Do the same for your partner. Never go to bed mad. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, God says. Talk it out. Confess your faults one to another, God says. Forgive one another. This is essential. Begin to court all over. Do things together. Do the things you did before you were married. Get interested in some hobby, sport, or read a creative project. Best of all, read the Bible together. Pray together. Go to church together. The family that prays together stays together. Above all, the fruit of the Spirit is love. You cannot know the deepest, purest love unless you have personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and let God start producing His love in your heart. If a couple would get on their knees and both personally believe the Lord Jesus really loved them, died for all their sins, rose again to be their Savior, and invite them into their hearts as Savior, 9/10 of the battle would be won. Why not do it right now? Then let the Holy Spirit control your lives, for that is the way you see the love, joy, and peace produced to its fullest in your life. Ephesians 5 sums up this whole message. Husbands, love your wives. It starts by sharing in 1,000 little acts of kindness, tenderness, attention, and thoughtfulness. Wives, be in submission to your husbands. This too begins by an attitude which then shows up in admiration and respect. The foundation of society is the home. No nation can survive when the home is broken down. Let's save our nation. Let's save our children. Let's save our own sanity and security. Let's get to work at putting the love cycle in motion until our wheels are rolling and our lives are lived in a heavenly orbit of love and joy.